Blog Talk Radio.
Okay, thank you. Welcome to the K Thompson Live Show. I'm the son, Eric Payne. What's going on, Mom? What's
I'm the mom.
My mom's all flustered,
mom.
Y'all. And I'm sitting here, you know, doing a show with your family. Sometimes, you know, she's all hair flustered and all in the studio flustered and just, you know, going through these conniptions
what
here.
What is flustered? I've heard people say flustered
and then 5
before.
Minutes ago, she was sitting out in the front lobby socializing, all relaxed. Now she's in here all flustered like she's trying to get...
Finally, yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
So anyway,
yeah,
that's sure. My life.
Yeah.
Welcome
that's
to
not
the
right.
Show. I'm the son, Eric Payne. That's the lady.
Yeah.
You're the lady.
Yeah, I'm your mother.
On the K Thompson Live Show.
I am your
you
mother,
be, you
spelled
be,
capital M-O-T-H-E-R.
Think she's listening to any words I'm saying?
Yeah.
I am the son. You are the lady. K Thompson Live Show. That's K Thompson. And I sound like I'm in a, is it me?
Yeah, it's like
in
an echo.
Like
yeah,
a,
yeah.
A can. Type of thing. Is that me? A little echoing.
Yeah.
But so today is the 2nd of April, 2014.
Yeah.
Was it 2 days after Obamacare deadline kicked in? And a lot of people have signed up for that.
Yes.
And got on. So that looks like it's
7. How much?
7.1 million
and going on, you know, increasing.
Right.
Yeah.
That's the number that they needed for it to be somewhat successful. So they achieved that.
Yeah.
They just miraculously happened to. I'm playing devil's advocate now. They just miraculously happened to hit that number. Yeah, that's a little better.
Miraculously, yeah.
But I'm just playing. That's what some of the opposition is saying. But, you know, either way you count it, everybody getting a chance to have health care is a good thing.
Yeah, yeah. That's so terrific. And with the 7.1, it's not, and it's increasing still.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm telling you, these Republican conservatives don't know what to do with themselves, you know.
Mm-hmm.
They're naysayers. They're against the biggest program, health program, in the country ever. And it's very successful. So people who are against Obama, you know, and the health insurance, Obamacare, they don't know what to do with themselves.
Nope, they
you know,
do not.
It doesn't make sense. But, you know, Eric, before we go on, you know, I want to tell people about, let me see, Deborah Smith from, Deborah Gregory, rather, was from ACSA, from the NAACP.
Mm-hmm.
She was going to be here. And I want to tell everyone she is not going to
Can
be
I
here now.
Up,
she called me a little while ago. And she can barely talk, so she's not going to be in today. So we're going to be setting this up, and we're going to be talking to Sahima.
Those days are over.
Sahima is, what are you doing?
I got to college.
But anyway, Sahima is here. And Sahima and her.
Sahima who?
Sahima, you'll find out.
I'm
you
just know, saying.
I'm going to let Sahima introduce herself.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
Yeah,
so good. All right.
However you want to do it.
But say hello to Deb. Hope you feel well. And yes, I'm going to be talking about ACSO, you know, and this is the organization for the kids, you know, up with the NAACP. The NAACP has really grown in Europe, by the way. You
oh,
know,
really?
A lot of people thought it had lost its relevance.
Uh-huh.
I don't see how in the world they could possibly think that. But yes, they are still going strong. And thank goodness to people like Deb and like, you know, Sally Carroll and a few other people. Everything is just going just fine. But anyway, we're going to be talking to Sahima in a little while. We are also going to be talking to Ricky, to Malachi Majestic.
Well, just 1 second, Ma. We want to say hello to Ayanna Jones, who just flew in from South Africa.
Not that she's coming in here.
She's wait. You got to see her on camera, everybody. Looking like she joined the women's movement. Bob, we could get a shot. She joined the women's movement with Winnie Mandela, and them. She's doing the Winnie Mandela story.
You look great, man. Power to the people.
Okay, I just had to say that. Just had to get that in there. We're going to do that. I just thought about the radio show. I'm sorry.
Why are you doing this radio show standing up?
I just thought about the radio drama we were talking about. We came up with an idea that we wanna do.
What's that?
I gotta follow up on my ideas though, huh? I have dreams. What? What? Look the other way.
What?
What am I looking at?
Look at
oh, is that a call?
Yeah.
Well, we got a call. I didn't mean to interrupt you, Ma, but. Oh, okay. Okay. I didn't know you had it tilted up. Right. Right, right.
Are you going to stand up and do
this? I'm going to stand up. I just feel like standing up. My stomach is a little bit messed up. So.
What are you trying to say?
A preview of my show. But Eric Payne, everything is going on in the show. But I didn't mean to interrupt your train of thought, Ma.
That's okay.
Some of the guests we're going to have on.
Yeah, but I was talking about Obama, man. I'm telling you, he is absolutely terrific. Can't get over him. The Tea Party idiots, the anti-democratic government for the people and by the people. Why? I don't know. Why racism? But they don't want to. They don't know what to talk about. They don't know what to say.
That's right.
About Obamacare being so successful and going and increasing.
That's true.
So I would tell people to still, you know, get on the phones and, you know, try to get into that extension, because they are extending it for a short period of time.
Yeah, they're probably going to end up extending the deadline as it stands now.
Yeah.
People that haven't signed up are going to be fined next year when they go to do their taxes. They're going to be fined. I think. It depends how much. Some people say it could be $1,200, but I saw on the news it could be $95 per adult. I don't know if that's quarter or whatever.
Yeah.
So some people could potentially be fine, but maybe they'll do away with that. Maybe they'll extend the deadline too. They were talking about that. So it's something that definitely the Democrats should use in the midterm elections,
because
a lot of them, you know, they're running for a re-election and they weren't really trying to embrace being a part of Obamacare, because it would look like it was going to be a disaster. Now it looks like it's going to be a success.
It is successful.
A lot of people, even Bill Clinton came out and said the other day in the news that the Democrats that are running for a re-election should embrace that and run on it. So
I'm not laughing at you. I'm laughing at a note that somebody in the control room
put up. I saw
them
put that up there when I was taking my jacket off. But
But this is really serious with the whole Obamacare thing. I'm really very proud of that whole thing, you know. Mm-hmm. And it's a wonder why these people are against it. The only reason why they are against something that is so fantastic, healthcare for the entire nation of people who need healthcare and need to be able to sign up and pay for it. You know, it affects so many different people. So why are they doing this? For one reason only. The only reason why the people who are against healthcare and affordable healthcare, Obamacare, okay, is because you have a black president.
That's right.
And you cannot stand that. Mm-hmm. And you're cutting off your noses to spite your face is so ridiculous and foolish.
I mean, the majority of
people. So who's looking like a bunch of fools now, you know?
What else is new?
So, yeah,
I mean, that's what they've been doing in this country for hundreds of years. So why start with something new nowadays?
You know?
They don't mind their hypocrisy and the lunacy of themselves.
Yeah.
So we got a caller on.
Yeah, let's go to the caller. You know, do we have that caller on?
Hello, caller. Who are you?
Hi. Neelan.
Hi. How are you?
I'm fine, Kate.
Yes, good. I'm glad. Geez, I'm glad you're calling.
Yeah,
you're not going to say any personal information. Tell me. Neelan is accounting company in Maplewood at Springfield Avenue.
Mm-hmm.
Yes?
I just wanted to let the folks know that the deadline for filing their taxes is just 13 days away.
Is how many days away?
13 days away.
13 days away. Whoa, okay, you got some time.
Right.
Okay.
So there is some time, and that they need to make sure that they file, because, you know, I was just looking up on the IRS website. Remember the website I gave you last week, irs.gov? And it was saying that for 2010, there were about over 900 and maybe 18,000 people who haven't filed. And their refunds of about, $760 million that the IRS is just holding. Yes.
So, am I going to be affected by that?
Well, I don't think so, but I it's something that you we could look into,
yeah.
But
you don't really want to comment it right now on the air, honey.
Can't do that.
yeah. But it's important that people file, because many people don't file because they're afraid, but unless they actually look into it, they might be in for a refund, and you don't want the government to keep your money because you just didn't file.
That's true. Now, so how many more days do they have?
They have 13 days more, and the filing now is easier now because of e-filing.
Uh-huh.
E-filing means that we can file the returns electronically.
Uh-huh.
You don't have to mail it. Get a stamp and put it in an envelope and add all this stuff to mail it. It can
and
be
you
done
can
electronically.
Do that, right? Your company
exactly.
does
we
that,
do
right?
That. Oh yeah, okay. We do that.
So
and
give me
that
your number
way,
real fast.
My telephone number?
Yes, give people your phone number.
973-762-6854, extension 0.
Extension 0. Okay.
Right.
All right, so 973-762-6854, extension 0. All right,
That
is Neelan Innes and Company, CPA, fantastic accountant. We know him well, okay? But listen, I am so glad you called in. I was going to call you earlier.
Okay.
Okay. But listen.
I'm glad I did also.
Okay.
yeah.
Thank you.
No.
But listen,
okay.
The number to get to you is 973-762-6854. Thank you, Neelan. We have a couple more guests that we have to get into right now.
Okay.
But we'll be talking to you very soon. Thank you.
My pleasure. My pleasure. Thank God bless. Bye.
Okay, God bless you. Thank you. Okay, we have another caller on the line. Yeah? We're waiting for this caller. Let's see who this is. Hello, you're on the air.
Caller.
Yes, you're on. Hello. Okie doke.
But that was anyway. That was a nice unexpected surprise for you to have Neelan and get some brief, quick tax tips for people. And
know that you have 13 days. That's great. Okay. We can go to this call right now.
Okay. Let's go to the call.
You're on the air. Hello. You're on the air. Can't hear you. You are on the air. Okay, maybe we'll come back to this. Anyway, I wanted to talk about Deb and Axo. Those kids are absolutely fantastic.
Mm-hmm.
There was the tribute that the NAACP did at New Jersey PAC some time ago for Sally Carrol, who was the outgoing president. But now Deb Gregory, I should say. She's the new president of the Newark branch of the NAACP, and she is moving. She's a fellow educator.
Mm-hmm.
So, and I hope you feel better, Deb, because your voice sounded awful when we talked. Poor things, she couldn't even talk. She said, I can't do it. So, but she's going to be coming on. Also, I want to tell people about Professor Darryl Moore, this friend of mine who, is a teacher of arts I have to get the whole title up, at William Patterson College.
Mm-hmm.
By the way, I'm going to be doing something with William Patterson College. I'm going to be announcing that later. We have 8 minutes or 2 minutes to break. So Ayana is in there. Her head just disappeared. Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh. But anyway, we're going to be bringing Saima in here very soon. Also, now that phone call, you're on the air. Let me see. We're expecting Malachi Majestic. We're expecting him calling from Kansas City, Missouri. He has a big event going on. I think it's soon. So as soon, can you see if he's on? Yeah, Malachi Majestic. Malachi.
Mally.
Are you on? Hello? Okay. All right. One thing, we're going to be bringing, when we go to break, we're going to be bringing Saima in here. Because I'm so glad she's coming here, because now we can hear her story all over again. What a story. What a story.
Uh-huh.
We have 2 minutes to break.
And you said we could hear her story all over again.
Yeah.
Because why? Is it that gripping of a story?
Yes,
that people
it is.
Were, I see.
Yes, it is. As a matter of fact, Saima was either the first person. Was it the first person? Was she the first person that we had on the air?
Mm-hmm.
All right. And this is when we were doing it from you know, the house.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so, and it's unbelievable. It's still unbelievable. As a matter of fact, I am the person that's going to be doing a book on her. I am the person who's going to be doing a film on her, Eric. We're going to be doing a film.
All righty, let's doggone it. Let's jump in.
All right, so we're just about ready for that break, are we? Okay, we'll be right back, everyone. Stay with us, please.
The views and opinions expressed on GoPro Radio Network shows are solely those of the speakers and are not necessarily the views or opinions of GoPro Radio Networks, Inc. or its affiliates. These broadcasts are provided on the understanding that they do not constitute professional advice or services. Individuals who speak in these broadcasts express their own opinions, experiences, and conclusions. GoPro Radio Networks and its affiliates do not necessarily endorse or oppose any particular opinion or conclusion discussed in these broadcasts. You may not edit, modify, or redistribute these broadcasts in any way without the express permission of GoPro Radio Networks, Inc. GoPro Radio Networks assumes no liability for any of your activities in connection with these broadcasts or for your use of these broadcasts in connection with your website, computer, or playing device.
You want to know the truth, folks? Do you really want to know the truth? Well, perhaps you can't handle the truth. But if you can, you can listen to GoPro Radio. Tune in at www.goproradio.com. Now, have I made myself clear?
GoPro Radio Network. Listen to the voices in your head. I know I do.
We interrupt this broadcast to bring you a great opportunity. If you have a product or a service, a talent or something important to say, now is your chance to have your very own radio show. Whether you're just starting out, a veteran looking for a professional platform to enhance your presentation, the GoPro Radio Network is the premier place to cultivate and share new and exciting content. We'll help you to grow your audience and keep it growing long after your first broadcast. Now you have a voice. Call 212-696-8562 today or visit www.goproradio.com and you'll be amazed at how easy and affordable it is to have your very own show on the fastest growing network in the galaxy. GoPro Radio Network. Listen to the voices in your head.
You're listening to content developed by the GoPro Radio Network, the fastest growing network in the galaxy. GoPro Radio Network. Listen to the voices in your head.
And we're back. We're back. Hey, now. Hey, now. Welcome to the K Thompson Live Show on the GoPro Radio Network. Talking about listening to the voices in your head. My name is Eric Payne, the son. That over there is the lady, K Thompson Live. My mom's always... Where's the camera? She's always busy. Let me tell y'all, she's always busy. Busy about something other than what you need her to be focused on, busy about. She's over there telling Sahima to move in and this
move
and that.
Out, right.
It's her turn to talk.
Listen.
Go.
Yes.
It's a boss. Bossy.
What is this, a comedy show now?
Go ahead.
I don't mind. I like to laugh. Okay, Eric, you know Sahima.
Sahima Abdullah.
Yeah,
Eric.
Yeah.
Now, I haven't had a chance to interview you. How you been? You have the
great
one of an incredible story because we've known each other for a very long time.
Yes, we have.
As a matter of fact, I believe you and my sister Gina met each other when Gina would come down to the Theater of Universal Images after I was doing a play down there.
Yeah. What was the name of the play, by the way?
Well, there are a couple of plays. One was called Ain't Supposed to Die, Natural Death. One was called First Breeze of Summer. But aside from what actually I was doing down there, that's how I think Gina met you, because she was down there working with the theater.
Yes,
and then you guys met, right?
Yeah, well, that's right.
Right, right. So, and then you guys became fast and good friends from that moment on. And then that's when our lives came together. And then you had this... can we call it an adventure now? Because you're home
adventure.
And you're through it now, but it's a remarkable. Your story is remarkable, and going through what you've gone through.
Let me just go through what's going on. You know, as was written, in the on my page, Sahima was a drug mule.
No, trafficker.
Trafficker. You were a drug trafficker.
Yes.
Okay.
What's the difference?
Yeah. Come to think of it.
A mule was is somebody that's doing it for other people.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And I was doing it for me.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay.
I see.
All right.
I mean, neither one is like really great. Both are bad.
Right.
You know, I'm not justifying it or proving anything.
Right.
But at the same time, it is a difference.
Right. Exactly.
So you deserve a lot of credit for, you know, telling us that story. You told it to me, what, in 2010, was it? You know, when I knew about it beforehand, but I'm talking about on the air.
I told...
Did we start in 2010 or 2010? Yeah. So you told that on the air. Yeah, you know, in you know, where we were living. And we did that story. Of course, I've known you ever since, you know.
Before that.
Way before that.
Yeah.
And you rocked my babies.
When they were little, that's right. Those guys.
Where are those guys?
They're growing up.
They're grown. Both of them. Well, Hanif is working, and Helene is out of the city right now, and they both have two children, a boy and a girl.
Mm-hmm. So you're a grandmother?
Oh, yeah. Don't tell anybody.
Okay. I won't if you won't.
So if we can just recap your story for, because it's going to be the first time on the air that I'm going to be talking to you about and stuff like that. So what happened? You were drug trafficking. And
it was, I know the exact date, October 14th. 1992, I was in Manila, Philippines, and I did the whole city. I did tours and everything around there, and it came about that I met with somebody that supposedly gave me the drugs to carry. They really didn't know about me.
Right.
The police or nobody. Someone else told on me. They didn't know me. I didn't know these people. I was by myself.
So let's backtrack how you even got there.
Yeah.
You decided to go... this course with your life.
Yeah, pretty much, because I was trying to get my boys out of the hood, basically.
Right, right.
Okay, I wanted to make money as fast as I could with what I had. You know, I'm uneducated. I taught myself I didn't go to college. I barely made it through high school, and that's all I knew. My first husband, he was really a good man, but he was not there the way he should have been for my boys. And he's passed away now, and I miss him dearly because he was a good man, but... He didn't know how to be a father.
Right.
He was a daddy.
Right.
Or vice versa.
Right.
And I wanted a better life. I seen what the life was going to be about where I was living.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, on Pennington and Broad.
Yeah. Yeah.
It was pretty rough then. Yeah. So I knew that they were young black men that was...
And you said something key. I don't mean to cut you off. It was rough then.
Right.
Well, around the time we first met, I mean, shortly after. So, and that was, what we're talking about,
30 years ago.
Okay, wow. So just so people get an idea of people talk about Newark and stuff like that, and it got rough or whatever. Certain parts had always been rough and were slower coming about. But go ahead.
So I seen the future, and I didn't want my son to be caught up in gangs and drugs, even though we're going to keep that one down.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't want them to be a part of that.
Right.
So I seen the only way that I can do it. I had quit two jobs. You know, I worked at the Theater of Urban Images. Mm-hmm. That closed down.
Mm-hmm.
And at the time, I was working at American Business Institute.
Right.
And I ran into some people that I knew that was involved in a lot of drugs.
Mm-hmm.
So I said, wow, they was giving me money. I was dating one of the guys. And the money looked good because I wasn't making much money.
Right.
I was, you know, basically scraping up whatever, trying to take care of two young boys.
And that's the truth. I mean, again... You know, I'm giving context here because I know you. Again, you know, when I met Sahima, you know, she's doing exactly what she's trying to be a mother. She was trying to raise her boy. She was trying to improve herself, do whatever it was necessary so she could come up. She was trying to come
up and
do it the right way. So I'm just giving people context when people make decisions in their life and they want to judge on those decisions. Okay. I'm going to talk about the whole kind of decision, what you made to do, how you made it do it. But I want you to finish your story because there's other big business people who have gotten rich all over the world doing the same thing.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
And they might have been related to presidents and did this and that. But they, you know what I'm saying? It's looked at different.
Right.
The drugs they're pushing as opposed to people on the street. But go ahead with your story.
Okay. I wasn't a drug pusher on the street. I was basically a trafficker. And this only was the second time that I did it.
Right.
And I kind of got caught up in the rush of the money thing, the money flow.
Right.
And I said, I'm just going to do this one last time, and I'm going to make this money, and I'm going to move my sons out of the city, and I'm going to help my sons. I'm going to, you know, buy a house somewhere far away from the city and raise my boys the proper way. Mm-hmm. I wasn't raised the proper way, but I was raised.
Right.
What can you do? My mother had 8 children.
Right.
I was one of the 8.
Right.
I felt like I was always left out. I didn't want them to be left out. They were the only ones that I have to this day.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And I just wanted more for them than what I had.
Yeah. Right.
I went about it the wrong way.
Right.
But who knows that it was the wrong way.
Exactly.
You know what I'm saying? So I was just trying to do the best I could for what I had, like mm-hmm. I said. And I got caught in the Philippines. I really didn't get caught. Someone told on me.
Mm-hmm.
And when they came and got me, it just like freaked me out. I didn't know the language, and the way they did me was just like really dirty, because they came into they bust into my room when I was going in there, when I thought it was the people, because I said before that the day before it was, the ceiling was leaking. So mm-hmm. they told me that they were going to send someone up.
Wait a minute, back up. Where were you?
In the Philippines.
You were in the Philippines at that time, and you were in a room?
Yes.
Hotel room.
So you went over here. They said, hey, you can make some money doing this, make this trip, come back.
Uh-huh.
You can make this money. So that's the opportunities you came. You did it once. It was successful. Said, let me go back.
But I didn't do it. I didn't do it to the Philippines the first time. I was in Africa. I went to Africa.
I see. So you went and brought.
Yes.
Okay.
Which I really, really regret, because I see the streets now
mm-hmm.
and how it's destroying the people.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm happy I didn't bring those drugs back the last time
mm-hmm.
because I'm looking back and I said, oh, my God, you know, how many people I destroyed by doing this. And, mm-hmm. it was a bad thing on my point. Because I left my boys at 10 years old, and I came back when they were 18. I missed their whole childhood, basically. Mm-hmm. Not their childhood, but their teenage years.
Right.
I came back. We didn't know each other. So it was like I was lost, but still, you know, I was like in a phase, and you know, and I just feel bad for the people that was destroyed by these drugs, but it wasn't mine,
mm-hmm.
you know. And I'm glad I didn't bring it back.
Right.
And I did learn a lot. I learned 4 languages, and it was a struggle. It was really hard over there because you don't have the, you know, the good things that we have over here. They don't have it over there.
I'm sorry.
Yeah. Take us to when you were in the hotel room.
Mm-hmm.
And how were you arrested? You're in the hotel room. You have the drugs with you and you're getting ready to distribute them or what?
No.
No?
How? Okay. I got the drugs the night before.
Mm-hmm.
And they were given to me. The cops didn't know about me because they were looking at these 2 Africans that was Interpol, because they left some people in Bangkok. I didn't know nothing about these people. I never knew these people, but I knew I had to make a connection with these people to get these drugs.
Mm-hmm.
So once I got the drugs, nobody knew about me. I took the drugs up to the room, but something kept saying, throw it off the balcony, throw it off the balcony. That was my inner thought. And I was like, oh, my God, but if I don't take these back, I could be in a problem with these people, because they were threatening with my kids. They said this and that was going to happen to my kids if I don't bring it back,
mm-hmm.
because they thinking I'm going to run off with the drugs.
Mm-hmm.
So, and if I don't bring it back, I'm not going to get the money from the up that I wanted to put my son.
Right.
So I didn't throw it off the balcony. So that night I slept. I got up in the morning. Like I said, the ceiling was leaking from the rain.
Mm-hmm.
So I called downstairs and I said, listen, the ceiling is leaking. It says, okay, we're going to have somebody come up and check it in the morning. I said, no problem. So I got up, got dressed, and it was I didn't take care of them, but I was helping the kids on Manila Bay. They were called Boat Children. They were very sick. Once, I was there for 8 days. Out of the 8 days, I took one of them to the hospital, got medication, because if you don't have money, you can't get medicine. The kid had sores all over the body. It was a 4-year-old that looks like an 8-month-old.
Mm-hmm.
So I gave the mother money and bought the kids clothes.
Right.
And she said, maybe she was lying now that I've been there, and I know they're big liars, that it was his birthday, the little girl's birthday.
Mm-hmm.
So I said, okay, I'm going to surprise her. I'm going to go out in the morning and go get the baby a cake and buy some gifts and mm-hmm. make it a happy birthday, maybe the first time and the only time in the child's life.
Right.
So I went to Ali Mall, because it's a mall. Muhammad Ali has a mall there.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, he has a mall there. I went there, and I bought the things, and I was going back up to my room. As I was going back up into my room, I noticed all these guys was around, odd-looking, you know, but I didn't pay it any mind. So when I went up on the elevator, it was 2 guys behind me. I paid that no mind. So when I'm walking to my room, it was like it was not that far from the elevator. And I noticed they didn't turn into a room. So I'm just watching, and I'm keying my door open. And as I was keying my door open, once the door was open, they shoved me in the room and said, you're under arrest.
Mom.
And I threw my hands up. I said, well, what did I do? And they said, you'll find out. I was like, so So what do you want me to do? He said, just get in the room. And they all pulled out these 9mm and Armalite guns, you know, and they pointed them at me. So I just put my hands up, and I was like, I didn't feel anything because I was at the mall the whole day, never thinking about the drugs. Then, like, I was so crazy, I started looking at the bag, and they knew about the bag.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm trying to distract them.
Was that the bag that the drugs were in?
Yes.
All right.
It was actually by the balcony. I should have thrown it off the balcony, but I didn't.
Mm-hmm.
And they started, you know, pushing me around, telling me to go over there, and they searched me. They physically searched me. Like, here in America, a man is not supposed to touch you.
Right.
They physically searched me. They pulled my bra off, and... You know, they practically stripped me, and they took all my clothes, my jewelry, my money. They took everything that I had.
Mm-hmm.
And then I had to sit there. So I just sat on the bed and reading a book.
No, put it right there because we have time for a break.
Yeah.
We're getting so caught up listening. We'll be right back on the Kate Thompson Live Show. I'm Eric Payne. That's Kate Thompson. We have Saeem Abdullah as our guest today.
We'll be right back.
We interrupt this broadcast to bring you a great opportunity. If you have a product or service, a talent or something important to say, now's your chance to have your own radio show. Whether you're just starting out or a veteran looking for a professional platform to enhance your presentation, the GoPro Radio Network is the premier place to cultivate and share new and exciting content. We'll help you to grow your audience and keep it growing long after your first broadcast. Now you have a voice. Call 212-696-8562 today or visit www.goproradio.com and you'll be amazed at how easy and affordable it is to have your own radio show on the fastest growing network in the galaxy. GoPro Radio. Listen to the voices in your head.
You're listening to content developed by the GoPro Radio Network. The fastest growing network in the galaxy. GoPro Radio Network. Listen to the voices in your head.
He's like, oh my God, Saeem.
Hey, yeah. Hey, we're back. Hey, we know. I know. Thank you.
Hi, honestly.
Well, all right. Woo, la, la, la. That was some kind of lyric from.
Yeah.
Your hat looks like a Shaker Ray. you know the Shaker Ray, you know, like, I got, okay, let me just interrupt this real quick. This is an aside. Do you know Rome Neal? There's an actor,
yeah,
a brother I know.
I know,
you know,
yeah,
Rome Neal,
yeah.
He's a local guy in New York and Brooklyn, a good actor, does a lot of local
he
theater.
He brought me four people.
But Rome used to, always at a party or a function, he would have a Shaker Ray, you know, African thing with the beads on the outside, always with the Shaker Ray at the party. So much where you wanted to snatch it from him and throw it out a window because he would do it all night long at the party. But, you know, it was back in the garage days and stuff.
Why
like
are
that.
You talking about that? And to interrupt you just for a minute, take a breath. Did he represent four people at one time?
He might have been doing the play.
The four people I thought that he represented was LL Cool and J. At one time I thought that LL Cool J.
Yeah, there it is. Take it. But he had a bigger one, and always playing it with that loud shake. You see how loud it is, and it could be annoying after 4 or 5 hours of the night.
Where has that thing been?
At a party, and this is small because this guy had his a gourd, and it was crazy. It was,
wow!
Well, all you
would
hear that all night long was that damn Shaker Ray. You could hardly hear the music. But anyway.
Go on. But anyway, that I thought that LL Cool J was four people.
Right.
Lisa was embarrassed, and Jimmy Gina was embarrassed, and everybody else was embarrassed. What did I know? And that's my story with the Rome Neal. But now,
Saeem, you were talking about how the police came in. But let me back you up a little bit, because you said you were there for 8 days, and you were there. This is after you had made your connection, right?
Yep.
And you had received the drugs. So were you scheduled to leave town at a certain time? Is that why you were still in town?
Yes.
I
actually was supposed to have been there for 6 days, so it was a two-day delay.
I see.
You know, and I was scheduled for that night exactly at 6:27 was my flight to leave there. And that was like 10 o'clock in the morning when they bust me in the room, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And they actually let me sit in that room with them for that length of time. We stayed in that room maybe 12 hours, just sitting there. They were waiting for a search warrant.
I see.
They went to the bathroom with me. They did a... Please.
So once they got the search warrant and stuff, then they took you to jail, what their jail is?
You know what they did to me? Mm-hmm. They made me pay my own taxi fare, I swear to God.
To go to the jail?
To go to jail. And they used up the...
Were they in the car with you?
Yeah, wait. Oh. It was pouring down rain. They had me in the back of a truck,
mm-hmm.
okay, handcuffed.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, they made me pay for the hotel room for that day when I wouldn't have had to pay if I wasn't there. They made me pay for phone bill that I did not make calls, so they made all the calls, and they made me pay for the taxi.
I don't mean to laugh. They're charging you a taxi.
Well, it's funny.
They're charging you a taxi fee.
No, they were charged me. I had to pay the taxi to take me to jail.
I want to know this. Hold on.
Go ahead. They
called a taxi to take you from the hotel to the jail. They didn't have a police car.
No, they didn't have a police car.
Okay, I just wanted to clarify that.
They had a taxi truck.
A taxi truck.
Pouring down raining on me and my luggage with... Once I got to the precinct, though, it was no more.
So they wanted to take you undercover. Was that the thing?
I don't know. I was handcuffed.
I'm wondering what kind of craziness. You know, a police car. They sent a taxi
wasn't,
for
no,
you.
No, it wasn't.
But
no
she
police
was.
Car.
The reason I'm mad anyway. Is that she was insulted.
That you had to pay.
Yeah,
never mind. You got arrested, huh? You insulted. You're going to make me pay for the taxi.
I cursed them out, but they didn't understand me because they were speaking in Tagalog the whole time,
right.
And I didn't know it at the time.
Right.
I was cursing them out, and every time I said a bad word to them, they would just look at me and say a bad word to me, but at the time, I didn't know it was a bad word.
Right.
They did understand me, but they act like they didn't. Mm. But it was pouring down rain, and I was like, no, I'm not going to pay. So they said they were going to charge me again, give me another charge, which was qualified theft. I said, I didn't steal anything. They said, well, you qualified to did it.
I'm sorry.
I'm sorry. I didn't mean to laugh.
You know,
you laugh. It's funny now.
I'm here. You know, because some of these other countries, I mean, obviously at that point,
and we know that
in a place like the Philippines, that's not the first time that Americans have been busted over there, but also the human rights violations that Americans suffer. And also sometimes it seemed as though they wanted to point up the fact that they were catching Americans doing these things in these other countries, and I remember that being an issue at one point.
Wait, no. They didn't know I was American at the time.
Mm-hmm.
They thought I was from Spain.
Oh, okay, I see.
And that's why they tortured me the way they did. They thought I was from Spain. They did not
know.
You
were tortured when you...
tortured.
When did they take you to jail? So straight to jail or
they
what?
They took me to this compound where they called P&P Custodium. Mm-hmm. Okay, that was the first place they had me. And it was like downstairs.
This is where the taxi.
Yeah. That's where the taxi took me that I paid for. Mm-hmm. Remember that part?
Right.
And it was like the police is downstairs, and I think it was their bedroom upstairs. No mattresses.
Mm-hmm.
It was the metal springs, the old up, you know, bunk beds, metal bunk beds.
That's what you had to sleep on?
That's what I had to sleep on after I was tortured.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And they brought this girl to me, and she had a 3-year-old child, and they asked her, did she know me? And I said, no, I don't know her. And then they said that we were together, but we weren't together. And the little girl says, no, I don't know her, because they asked the child. Children don't lie if they know you. She was 3 years old at the time, but she looked like she was 6. That's how big this child was.
Mm-hmm.
And the little girl says, no, I don't know her. And the girl, of course, said she didn't know me. And then she told me, she can't come in my room. I don't trust her. And I said, I don't want to go in her room because I don't trust her. You know, I didn't know the girl until then. But they said we were together, which we weren't. So
they said you guys were trafficking together.
They
tried to pair you with this
drug,
woman.
Right. She was my co-offender.
Okay.
And it was also actually it was 3 women and 3 men, but two
with
of
this one under this one particular charge that you were a part of.
Right.
Okay.
That's why they called us a drug syndicate.
Wow.
Oh, and that's what they were charging you under that as a drug syndicate, as opposed to an individual or
right.
Okay.
Two of the people left because they paid in the night. They paid, they got out, they left. Didn't see them no more.
When you say paid, you mean
paid
bribery,
money.
Paid the police officers to get out of jail,
yes.
And were
now,
set
were
free.
They Americans or?
No, they were
African.
They were African.
Mm-hmm. So they bought their freedom. They bribed these law enforcement people in the Philippines and let them out of jail of this drug offense. And you were left with who?
I was left with the two guys. Two African guys.
Two other African guys.
And the American girl, but she really wasn't American. She came over here. She was from Honduras.
Mm-hmm.
But they thought I was from Spain. She was the one that supposed to have told on me.
I see.
But I didn't know this girl. I didn't know any of them.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? And I ended up staying in the room with her anyway. And I just put, well, after they brutally did a bunch of crazy things to me.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I don't want to say about that because that's going in my book and y'all just got to wait for it.
You're talking about from a physical standpoint, physical abuse, things like that.
They
broke
both of my shins.
Wow.
They kicked me with their combat boots.
Wow.
It was worse than that, though.
Mm-hmm.
And I, this part I have to tell, my leg was busted open from the boots, from kicking it.
Mm-hmm.
It was busted open, and they told me to pack it with sugar. And I thought that was the weirdest thing ever.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? The place was filthy. I was afraid of getting, you know,
gangrene,
mm-hmm. anything. You know, infection. It was just terrible because the flies was like beyond. It was just so many flies.
So the abuse that you were suffering, were they trying to get you to admit to a crime? I mean, because you were already
mm-hmm.
caught, so they were trying to get you to confess.
They wanted me to say that I was a part of those other people, which I wasn't.
I see. Okay.
You did this singly, you know, when you were trafficking?
Yes.
You were going back and forth.
One of the guys I did, that's who I met up with. That's the guy that I got it from.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, he was not arrested yet.
Mm-hmm.
It was just me and the girl mm-hmm. so far. And I was trying to, you know, I was telling him, I don't know this. So every time I tell him, I don't know. And then they want me to tell on people in America that, who do you want me to tell on, myself? I'm, you know,
right.
I had connections. That's how I went for people, you know, but it wasn't like it was somebody
so they were
tell
trying
on.
To get people up further up to what they perceived of the food chain than you. They were trying to do what law enforcement does, see how far it goes and things like that. That's why they're abusing you and stuff like that.
And they wanted me to admit to these people that didn't really, they were no people.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know, because they trying to make it bigger than really what it was.
Right, that's what I'm getting at. It seemed like they were trying to do that. And also, too, so they take you in, they abuse you, they try to get you to admit this. Then when do we get to the thing of the, what happens next?
Okay, so after they notice, after they tortured me,
mm-hmm.
My passport showed up,
mm-hmm.
American guy showed up, he was, I don't know if he was Interpol or what, and he's standing there and telling me, you know, he's insulting me too, and I'm bleeding.
And
my
he's
face.
An American?
He's an American, mm-hmm. he's a white
there,
man.
He was there to try to get you out of there?
No, he was there with them telling me that I should tell them.
So he was some sort of law enforcement guy.
Okay.
Right. I mm-hmm. think it was Interpol. I don't know, you know, because
mm-hmm.
I just cursed him out. I mean, I'm bleeding like this, and you asking me what's my name and who I'm with and blah, blah, blah. I gave that information to the other people.
Right.
You know, and I gave them all the right information. But when they got the passport and they realized that I was not from Spain,
because
they kept saying, you're Spaniel, and they hate Spanish people because they ruled their country for 100 years.
Spain made the Philippines a colony. Right.
Yeah, and they made it really, really bad for them.
Mm-hmm.
And so they just freaked out.
Right.
The colonel came in and said, why did you do this to her? And they were saying to him, she's Spanish. And he said, no, she's not Spanish. She's American. And I said, I was telling him I'm American. And he said, oh, and all of those guys disappeared. Didn't see them anymore.
All the ones that were abusing you, they disappeared once they found out you were an American
citizen. And
then
what happened?
Once they found out you were American, you started receiving different treatment? Pretty much.
Uh-huh. I got different treatment. I got better, well, not better treatment because, you know, you're in jail.
Right.
But I was getting different treatment.
Mm-hmm.
They were trying to persuade me to pay them so I can go home.
Mm-hmm.
And then when my counselor came after 4 days, when, you know, it's supposed to be 24 hours, but I didn't know nothing about counsel. I didn't know the counsel was supposed to come to you.
Or their legal system at all.
They told me I had no rights. Mm-hmm. I had no rights. I'm American. You know, you have no rights. They just told me that from the door when they first busted in. I was like, what are my rights? When I was in the hotel room, you have no rights.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm like, oh, I don't have no rights, so what am I asking for?
Mm-hmm.
And besides, I didn't know anything about none of that,
mm-hmm.
you know. So counsel came, and I thought he was one of those other ones to harass me.
Right.
But he wasn't. He came in, he told me, listen, I'm not here to try and get you out or get your lawyer. We can't do anything. Our hands are tied, you know. I'm here to make sure that they treat you humanely.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, listen, I can't even walk. I haven't walked in 3 days.
Mm-hmm.
And he seen my face. He says, what happened to you? And I told him, and nothing happened with that because he ended up not coming back. Another counsel came after I was transferred to another place. I was into four different prisons, really jails, there before I made it to the final CIW, Correctional Institution for Women. And
so this is all during your processing and going to trial. They moved you from jail to jail, in other words.
Yes.
Uh-huh.
Speedy trial, but 9 months.
And the counsel that you said was their appointed counsel, right?
Yes.
The counsel that came?
Yes.
So you were moved from jail to jail, and each time, how was the treatment during the course of this?
It was fine. It was fine. So they couldn't really do, they were afraid to do anything to harm me. They didn't harm me after that.
Mm-hmm.
So I freaked out. I wanted to harm their people.
Right.
Which was wrong because they didn't have anything to do with my situation. They were there with me, but at the time I was just upset, lost, you know, everything was filthy. I mean, filthy. Bugs, worms.
Mm-hmm.
It was just filthy. I couldn't eat the food.
Mm-hmm.
I was getting sick.
Mm-hmm. Oh, okay. Now, we've been riveted by this conversation that we forgot a break with just snuck up on us.
Yeah.
So, on the Kate Thompson Live Show, Eric Payne, that's Kate Thompson, my mom over there. We have Salim Abdullah as our guest. We'll be right back. Stay with us.
GoPro Radio, the fastest growing network in the galaxy, is leaner and meaner with a new attitude, new technology, and a brand new lineup. Tune in and get wired every Wednesday, starting at 5 p.m. Eastern with the BCS Experience featuring Byron C. Saunders, formerly of New York City's WBAI. Then at 6 p.m., it's the Black Agenda TV Express featuring sought-out political commentator Glenn Ford, formerly of America's Black Forum. Then at 8 p.m., it's time for Kay Thompson Live with the legendary radio host Kay Thompson of Inner City Broadcasting's WLIB and her son, renowned actor Eric Payne, who starred in such films as Spike Lee's Do the Right Thing, Drop Squad, and many more. Then, at 9 p.m., it's Food Wrap, featuring Nina Markel, a.k.a. the unofficial mayor of Jersey City, and former Viacom marketing guru Shauna Glover. Last but not least, at 10 p.m. Eastern, it's the Sexy Party Show with the bad boy of dating Mr. Locario of I Love New York fame and his partner in crime, Miles Cunningham. So get wired every Wednesday from 5 p.m. to 10 p.m. Eastern only on the GoPro Radio Network, www.goproradio.com. Listen to the voices in your head.
You're listening to content developed by the GoPro Radio Network, the fastest growing network in the galaxy. GoPro Radio Network. Listen to the voices in your head.
And we are back, everyone. Kate Thomas Alive. Eric Payne is here. I'm here. Sahima Abdullah is here. How are you?
I'm here.
Okay, so we don't have a lot of time, but I want to get to the at least the first, and we're talking about doing part two and part three,
follow-up
parts of your story. But
yeah.
So you go in, now they find out you're an American citizen. You go to the first jail that you're at, right?
Yes.
And what's the procedure? I mean, you're waiting a trial, I assume, for you to be able to answer your charges, right?
Yeah, but that's so weird. They didn't even take us to court. We went downstairs because this wasn't even a jail.
Uh-huh.
Okay, this was the place where the police lived.
Okay,
and we were up in a room.
So there's no kind of police precinct where you get arraigned. You know, in American system, you go on arraignment, you get charged,
mm-hmm.
and then you go to lockup or you get bailed out, then you come back and answer the charges.
No.
So your process.
Okay, what they did was, they called the prosecutor and whoever else, and they sat down and they told us what was going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
Basically, you're never going to go home.
Mm.
And then they were trying to get money from us. So, they were trying to get bribes from us.
So they made it pretty plain, like, unless you give us, you'll never go home. Unless.
Yes. Yeah, alternative, you know. And we kept me there for about 10 days before I was transferred to the PMP custodial. That's where the jail was.
Okay.
Okay, and that's a cell outside.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing's inside, basically.
Mm-hmm.
It was a cell outside. And what they did was they put boards up to the bars because they didn't want us to be seen because we was Americans. And somehow photographers and news medias, they like just rushing on us. It was like such a big thing, but I was freaking out from it. I'm like, what is going on?
You say they rush in, they rush to the side of the fence, wherever you guys are?
Yeah, wherever we were, somehow. You know, it's easy to get around up in that place because if you got a little money, you give them a little, you know, the guards or whoever.
You could just get up.
You can get in. And it was crazy. It was like paparazzi, but it wasn't paparazzi.
Do you think it's because they heard that the Americans were arrested?
Yes, it was such a big thing. Mm-hmm.
So you moved to this new jail now. And what's happening with your case? I mean, did you get your counselors come to see you, your advocates come to see you? Or
no.
I mean, explain that process.
After they came the first time, they did not come back. And for like a month, they came only once a month to check on us to find out we were getting the same treatment as the Filipinos. Okay, they said that we're in the Philippines, so we got to abide by Philippines law. Mm-hmm. Whatever the law is for us, that's the law that they have to follow.
Mm-hmm.
There was no special process or anything. Only thing, they could not abuse us because of our rights as, you know, prisoners. I don't know the words. They basically, that's all they was there to do. But they did give us money, their foods. They call it a diet subsidy, $100 a month.
So there was no trial. You got arrested. You talked to your counsel. Cops talking. Next thing you know, you're in jail. There's no trial. You're never charged and found guilty. And automatically, you're starting to spend time. You're doing time.
Were you in jail? Like 2 or 3 or what? No.
It was me and the girl that. It was a small cell. Mm-hmm. We had our own bathroom, and we waited like 3 months to even start trial.
Okay.
And it's supposed to be a speedy trial, but it took 9 months
for you to actually get your trial.
No, not to get to trial, but to finish trial.
To finish the trial. Okay.
What was the jail like? Describe that.
Oh God, it was so nasty, man. It had maggots and leeches and lice, head lice. I shaved my head bald because. Mm. I had long hair almost to my knee, and I had to shave it off because I had head lice, bed bugs, and they threw their garbage in the back of the place, and that's where we supposed to stood and take a bath. And when I seen all these leeches, I'm freaked out, and leeches and maggots, and the flies, because they had a net over the whole backyard. The net, if you touch that net, the flies would just swarm. I think they could cover your whole body.
Mm.
That's how many it was. There was no way for them to go out.
So the conditions of the prison are just, there's no conditions. There's no human rights, human sanitary conditions. So during the nine-month period, and were you moved to another jail during this period?
Worse than the one that I was at Pasay City Jail. That was the city jail.
Mm-hmm.
That's when we were going back and forth because PFP Custodial is in Kasong City.
Mm-hmm.
It's like a 45 to an hour drive to the courthouse.
Right, so they moved you to a jail close to the courthouse, long story short.
We walked to the courthouse. We walked to the court from where I was.
Oh, I see.
And that was worse. It was like 30 girls in a really small cell, you know, really small. And everybody...
Did you have clothes?
No, they took all my clothes, they took all my money, they took everything from me, everything. And I had to buy, once the council gave me money, I would send the guards out to buy me small things.
Mm.
You know, the food was terrible. You was lucky you didn't get a cockroach in your food.
Right, right.
You know, and...
So now you're in this third jail. Just to keep it on to the, so people could follow chronologically what happened. And we have about 2 minutes to end. So you go to the courtroom jail, right? Now you're going back and forth, and your trial is going on.
Right.
And this takes, how long are you in this city jail, and how long is this trial period?
We was in the city jail for like 4 or 5 months, if I can remember.
And this is this same amount of time as your trial period is taking this amount of time as well.
Yes.
Okay. So then what happens after the city jail? You actually have your trial and
we have our trial. We were found guilty.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, life imprisonment to suffer. And I screamed. And I cursed the judge. I spit at the judge. And he said, I said, why did you have to say to suffer?
Mm-hmm.
Is suffering enough to be in this country?
Mm.
You know, and he would say, get her out of here. But I fought with them.
Life, that's a good place to end. Somebody's got a question. Do you still speak other languages?
Yes, I do.
You speak a little Tagalog, because that's interesting. I
know gusto mo na sabi ako. I said, what do you want me to say?
And Tagalog is, because I dated a Filipino woman for a minute, Tagalog is the major dialect of the Philippines, right?
Yes, it's one of them, because they have 7,600 different languages.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And I learned Tagalog, Olongo, and Bisaya.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
I see.
But fluent in Tagalog.
I see.
Mahal ng Kay Thompson.
What did you say?
Love ng Kay Thompson.
Sure. Yeah, say it again.
Mahal ng Kay Thompson.
That's like in Tagalog, right?
Yes.
I see.
Wait a minute. So, we're going to jump one.
Well, it's time for us to say goodbye. 2 minutes to end. So
to the end of the show?
Yeah. To live. Well, 1 minute now. So we're going out.
Wait a minute. How long did you spend in jail? You're going to be back next week.
8 years.
But that's a good place to put the bookmark in because the judge said to you, to life and to suffer.
Life, imprisonment, to suffer.
To suffer. That's deep. Kay Thompson Live Show. We're at the end. I'm Eric Payne.
Amazing. I'm Kay Thompson. Thank you.
Thank you, Sahima, for coming. And we're going to do this again.
Yes, next
pick
week.
Pick up next week, yes, part two.
Part two. When she Kay
Thompson Live Show.
She was in jail for 8
Gold
long
Pro
years
Radio.
And now she got out and all that sort of thing. We'll be back.
Peace.
Poncho Sanchez.